I want you to find out what's really in the rings, one way or another, and come back safely. The others all nodded, but Wonderly thought that there wasn't much enthusiasm in them.
Urbain made his fourth call of the morning to Eberly's office. Like the first three, it was answered by a recording of the chief administrator's smiling face, saying that he was busy and would return the call as soon as humanly possible. Checking his phone log, Urbain counted 26 calls that Eberly had not deigned to answer. He thought about going to Eberly's office and knocking his door down, but he knew it would do no good. The man had made it clear. He would approve the satellite launches only if Urbain agreed to support mining the rings for their ice. "That I cannot do," Urbain said to himself disconsolately. "Even if I wanted to, the ICU would get the IAA to issue an order forbidding it. I would be disgraced even more than I am already. Intolerable." He closed his eyes and tried to picture his Titan Alpha alone and abandoned on the surface of Titan. "Not abandoned," he said to himself. "Never! I will find you, my creation. Find you and bring you back to life. I swear it." His reverie was interrupted by a knock on his office door. Almost glad of the interruption, Urbain called out, "Enter." He recognized the young woman who slid the door back and stepped into his office as a technician in the communications group, the wiry, nervous type. Her lips were pressed into a thin line, but her eyes focused on him as if her life depended on it. "Why is it so important that you must come to my office instead of phoning?" he asked severely. She looked startled, almost ready to bolt for the door, but she stood her ground and said, "I thought you would want to know this, sir."
"Know what?"
"The storage capacity of Alpha's memory core." Urbain gave no gesture for her to sit down. Still, she hesitantly went to one of the chairs in front of his desk. Instead of sitting, though, she grasped the chair's back with both hands. "Assuming that Alpha's sensors have been operating at full capacity, an assumption that may be quite incorrect," Urbain interrupted. The young woman gulped visibly, but then continued, "Yes, sir. I know it's an assumption, but if it's correct, it leads to an important conclusion. Or maybe I should say a problem."
"Conclusion? Problem? What are you talking about?"
"Sir, if Alpha's sensors are working as designed, and if the central computer is storing the data they're recording, then the core storage capacity will reach its limit in 35 more days, 40 days tops." Urbain stared at her. "When the core memory capacity is reached, Alpha is programmed to transmit all data in storage."
"Yes, sir,
but since there's been no data transmission at all from the vehicle, there's no reason to assume that it will uplink all the accumulated data." He sank back in his yielding chair. "Then she will go into hibernation mode."
"Exactly, sir.
If Alpha can't or won't dump its accumulated data and clear its memory storage, then the vehicle will shut down all systems. It'll be dead."
"Not dead," Urbain snapped. "In hibernation mode."
"But, sir, if it won't respond to our commands and it enters hibernation mode, it might as well be dead. We can't find it, and we can't communicate with it." Urbain felt his insides twitching, churning. His gut began to throb painfully. As calmly as he could manage, he dismissed his communications tech. Once his office door was safely shut once again, he leaned his head on his desk and closed his eyes. "There is nothing else I can do," he said to himself.
"I must find her before she goes into hibernation mode. Once she is asleep, we may never be able to revive her. I must find her. Save her."
He knew what that meant. With a sinking heart, he realized that he would have to give in to Eberly, support his contemptible scheme to mine Saturn's rings. Either that, or lose his precious Titan Alpha forever.
9 January, 2096, evening. The observation blisters built into Goddard's hull were well known to be make-out shacks. Locked into one of the blisters, with its upholstered bench and carpeted floor, the lights down to their lowest so that you could see the heavens through the wide viewport of tinted glass steel, a couple could spend long, romantic hours either gazing at the starry universe or exploring the universe within themselves. Holly had made it clear to Tavallera that she wanted to be alone with him in one of the blisters because they could have a completely private conversation there, period. But as they entered the cozy nest and the heavy hatch swung shut behind them, she realized there was no way that Raoul could keep romance off his mind. Cheap, she thought. I'd be cosmically disappointed if he didn't make a play for me. Look at that, Tavallera said, his voice hushed with awe as their eyes adjusted to the low lighting level. Saturn was nowhere in sight. Instead, beyond the thick viewing port, they saw the infinite black of space strewn so profusely with stars that it took their breath away. There's so many of them, Holly breathed. That blue one there, Tavallera said, pointing. I think that's Earth. She stepped up next to him, close enough to brush her shoulder against his. He slid an arm around her waist. I don't remember anything about Earth, Holly confessed. That was my first life, and all those memories are gone. I remember it, said Tavallera. I thought I wanted to go back, until I met you. She melted into his arms, and for long moments they were lost in each other. Then, as the habitat slowly rotated, Saturn rose into view, its broad, gleaming rings flooding the compartment with light. Holly leaned her head on his shoulder. My God, but it's beautiful. Yeah. The wide, flattened sphere of Saturn was aglow with streaks of saffron and soft russet. The rings were tilted so that they could see them in their full, dazzling luster.
You don't see that on Earth, Tavallera muttered.
Guess not. He kissed her again, then led her to the plushly padded bench. As they sat side by side, Holly asked, Raoul, do you want to go back to Earth? She could see the conflict in his eyes.
Yeah, maybe someday, I guess.
It's still your home, isn't it? Instead of answering, he asked,
Would you come with me?
For a visit or to stay?
I don't know. I mean, I've got a wife here. I like working with Dr. Cardenas. I'm learning a lot. She says I could get a degree from the University of Cellini.
In nanotech?
Yeah.
That would be great.
I couldn't do nanotech work back on Earth, though. It's banned there.
But you could get an engineering job.
His face sank into a frown. Big deal. I'd just be another engineer.
So you'd rather stay here?
With you, he blurted.
Despite herself, Holly smiled at him. Oh, Raoul, I don't want to be the deciding factor in your life. That wouldn't be fair to you, to either of us.
But you are, Holly. I want to be with you. I don't care where it is. I just want to be with you.
He leaned toward her to kiss her again, but she put a finger against his lips.
What?
He asked, exasperation clear in his tone. There's something between us, said Holly.
Tavallera's face clouded over. Wonderly in her frickin' rings.
It's important, Raoul. Important to all of us.
Important enough to get me killed?
No, but
shit, he snapped. You think flying Wonderly to the rings is more important than us being together.
That's not true, Raoul. The fuck it isn't.
He got to his feet. You don't give a damn about me. Not for me, myself. You're trying to play me like a fucking violin.
Raoul, no, please.
But he stormed out of the observation blister, leaving Holly sitting there alone, close to tears. What tore at her most was the realization that Raoul didn't believe that she could love him. His rage at the thought that her only interest in him was to use him.
I do love you, Raoul, she called silently. I really do love you.
But she knew that she had lost him, hurt his pride, ruined her one chance for a happy life with the man she loved. Holly bowed her head and sobbed, all alone in the darkened observation blister.
Jean-Marie Urbain felt as jumpy as a schoolgirl. Her husband was still in his office, spending the evening as usual trying to work out a way to regain contact with his errant machine down on the surface of Titan. The strain was killing him.